Bible gives us many of these indications of how we must live, walk, talk, so on and so forth. Jesus, who is light, reveals to us who we really are. He reveals how messed up I am. He reveals how sinful the nature that I have. His word, his light, he, Jesus, shines a light and he shows really what a desperate creature I am. He shows what really total depravity I have. He shows how lost of a condition I really am. We just keep telling ourselves, I'm okay.
Is that human nature?
When the Word of God reveals something to us, sometimes I feel so small when I preach stuff like this because I realize who I am. And so I say this with great carefulness. I say this with great consideration because I do realize who I am. I realize who Derek Newman is and the struggles that I face from day to day. I don't want to be the individual that says, I'm okay. I don't need that. I'm not. And we still, people say this, and I've even been guilty of saying this in times past long gone by, that I've said, well, I'm not that bad of a sinner. I'm not that bad. Because really, look at him. And look at her.
Yeah.
I mean, really, come on. I'm not that bad.
Right.
Oh, man. Oh, y'all are way more perfect than I. Because that's what I'm going through that whole justification process. But God, you see what she's done. I mean, come on. Really? Yeah, well, it don't work like that. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when I get into His presence and His glory, I really realize how small I am. I really realize how insignificant I am in comparison to His vast, wonderful, majestic glory. And it really gets me to understand the frailty, and I've said this so many times, the frailty of our humanity. There's people that say, well, I like the way Jesus makes me feel, but I don't agree with that. I don't think I have to do that. Really, what are you doing? You really are in a process of self-examination. The beauty of God, the wonderful things of God, he gives us this, he gives us the answer book for this big test that we're currently taking. We are in the middle of an open book test. Have you ever heard of somebody failing an open book test?
Yes.
I have. You know why? They ain't open the book. Serious. It's an open book test. And the teacher begins to scratch their head and said, how do you fail an open book test? You can open your book and find the answer. And they're baffled by the reason why you want to open the book to know the... But God, in His grace, in His mercy, in His loving kindness, He said, I don't want you to fail this test. I don't want you to fail this examination. It's an open book test for you to self-examine you, yourself, your life, your walk, your talk, according to the answer key. Man, what an awesome God.
Amen.
What an awesome
God.
What an awesome, awesome God. Thank so when we say things like that, that I like the way Jesus makes me feel, but I don't want to obey the commandments, what we're really saying is, I don't need Jesus, I can be my own Savior. What? Really? Do you really feel that way? And most of us being put into that type of scenario, we go, well, you know what I mean. I think I can do it my own way. I think I can do it myself. Well, I'll be the first to admit there's been many, 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 many times I've tried to do it myself. And every time that I've tried to do it myself, I've come up short. I just can't be good enough.
Right.
Right.
Come on. I can't be good enough. I can't be smart enough. There's not really enough in me to continue to be good.
That's right.
That's the truth. Amen.
Yeah. Maybe I'm preaching to the wrong audience.
No, you're not.
Many say that in this day, I remember it was several years ago, Oprah Winfrey even said this. She said, there's many ways to get to God. Do whatever.
Right.
Just follow your heart.
Right.
She didn't read the Bible. Because
right.
The Bible said, your heart is deceitfully wicked.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Right.
Who can know it? That's why we need the Word of God to shine into that heart that is deceiving, because we are carnal, because we have a natural nature that light. Open it up there. That light shines inside of that deceptive heart.
Yes, sir.
Shines into that deceptive heart and reveals that you ain't so good after all.
Right.
And you need Jesus.
Right.
You need a Savior. You can't fix this all by yourself.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. People want to say, well, let me choose. Let me choose. And that's good. Even Joshua said it in that day. He said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Everybody has to make that individual choice. You got to choose. I can't make you do it. If I could, I'd make everybody. Really? I mean, I would do that. Brother Quincy, you realize that? If I could make everybody do right, be perfect, and live for God, and enjoy Jesus as much as I am, you know what I'd do? I'd go rip every single person out of their house and drag them. If I can do it, but I can't. I can't. There's no way that I can't. And that would be not a choice, would it? There'd be no choice in that. And would take away all of the ability for God to really be God in somebody's life.
That's right.
Man, we're lying to ourselves if we think we can somehow attain or achieve perfection by our own will and our own ways. I need Jesus.
Amen.
I need Jesus. So what's the cure for self-deception? What's the cure? The cure is found in verse number 7, as we walk in the light. But if we walk in the light, He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The cure is to walk in the light. We must have fellowship, again, in two areas of our life. One of that is with each other. The other is with God. It is vitally important, I'll say it again, to have true fellowship one with another. The Bible said that a brother was born for adversity. Adversity. Now, there was a lot of age between me and my brother. There's almost 10 years between him and I, and so it was kind of hard to really do a lot with him. As a matter of fact, I already had my first kid before he graduated out of high school. So there was a lot of time that was stretched between. But you see brothers that are a little bit closer, especially, they'll fight.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
They'll fight, and well, I should say this, daughters will too.
Yeah, right.
They'll fight, but let somebody get in between them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, no. They'll sit there and fight, and somebody goes in there and tries to pull them apart. They're like, oh, no, we're going to fight. You stay out of this. And they'll both jump on them. It's like, wait a second, I'm trying to separate you two. Huh? Just stay out of it. They're born for adversity, for that struggle. And in that struggle, they're sharpening each other. They can be more critical with each other. They can be critique each other in a much, much more severe way. They can say things to each other that nobody else can say.
Right?
Well, in the family of God, hear me? Don't run wild with this. In the family of God, that's what we do too. There's a place that in that fellowship, we will critique each other. Mm-hmm. But Problem is, we get an attitude.
Right.
Problem is, we don't go, man, they see that in me? Bummer. I was hoping I had that hid. I was hoping nobody'd see that in me. But they did. I need to work on it better. Not to hide it, but to let the light of God change it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's so easy to look over our own faults. The Bible talks about one that seeketh it out or sees it. We can be so blind, but God, in His way, in His perfect way, that's why fellowship is good, to draw us out of certain places, to bring us in closer. Why? Because we must be, as the scripture said, able to share or bear one another's burdens. And that's why it's okay and it's good to be vulnerable, but some people don't want to be vulnerable because they're scared it's going to be taken the wrong way. I understand that. But if we let the light of God help us and navigate through those waters, we'll be better men, better women than we've ever been before, because really, it's only for our benefit.
Right.
We all got walls that we built up because we've been hurt. And this has happened and that's happened. So we just like building up walls. And then pastor comes by and he just takes a sledgehammer. Bam! Say, that ain't a good place for a wall. Yeah, there's a good time to build walls. But your wall should never be right here.
Amen.
Right.
Huh? Yeah, your wall shouldn't be this close to you. Your wall needs to be out there against the enemy of your soul.
Amen.
And not against the people of Life Precious Faith that love you, that care about you. Not only do we need this fellowship, but we to bear one another's burdens, but also to rejoice with one another in our victories and in our blessings.
Amen.
You may think you're perfect. But everyone around you knows the truth.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. Yeah, I'm perfect, but We know. That's where the beauty of God's grace and God's mercy comes in.
Yes, amen.
With Jesus and His blood, and it purifies us from all sin. When I really get to looking at who I am, boy, it sure makes it easier for me to overlook somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And not be judgmental.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
When I know who I am, it makes it easy for me to let that go of somebody else.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Moving on quickly. Examination number two. Is sin still alive in me? As we read it there in verse number 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are any of us without sin today?
Nope. Nope. Not a one.
None of us are without sin, even if we have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Psalms 51 tells us that we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We have a nature of our fallen father, Adam. There's a nature that we all have to deal with, man, on a day-to-day basis for most of us. But Jesus came, being that second Adam, if you will, and provided a way that we know of today is called Calvary, for us to come out from underneath that curse and live an overcoming life in Jesus Christ. Even with all of that, we still struggle to submit our soul, our spirit, our body under the leadership or authority of Jesus Christ. Why? Because sin is still in me. It's my nature. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 15 said this, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Paul is telling us here that we have a constant fight to put sin down in our lives. It's a continual. It's a day-to-day process. If you haven't learned this already, learn it now, early on, if I can say it that way, that this life of living a godly, Christian, wholesome life is a process.
Yes.
Right. It's not a destination.
That's right.
It is not a destination. It's a process till the day you die.
Amen. You are in an ever-changing process.
Right.
God, help me to get closer to the light. Help me to be more like you.
Amen. I believe that's why you're here today. Because you want to be more like him.
Amen.
If you want to be more like him, you why am I doing this? Well, this is a waste of time. Right?
But there's something inside of you that light. There's something inside of you saying, you know, is there more? I want to know more. I want to be more. I want to do more than what I'm doing now.
But if we claim that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I don't want to live in that place of self-deception. And therefore, we don't have any real fellowship again. But remember, this is all about fellowship with God. I want to be close to God. Anybody want to be close to God?
Amen.
I want to be close to God. That's my desire. I want to be close to him. And
does anybody ever feel like sometimes that you're a million miles away?
Yeah.
And you ask yourself the question, why? Why is this distance feeling so great between us? Why some of that distance is you got to get back and examine yourself and say, what's drawing me further away? What's bringing me closer?
Right.
What are those? And only you can have that self-examination. If we want to walk in fellowship with Jesus, then we must learn how to confess our sins as given there in verse number 9. We've got to learn how to confess. Now that's not going to come easy. That's not in our nature. Because what it's saying is, I'm wrong.
He's right. And that's not easy. Any of us.
It's not easy for us to say, I'm wrong. Because we all want to be right. Yeah. We all want to have it all together. But the fact of the matter is the way we find salvation, the way we find this fellowship with God is through confession. We've got to find a place of repentance.
Yes, yes, yes.
We've got to depend on Him to save us because we're unable to save ourselves. So real quickly, a recap here. John says confess. This is a daily habit, realizing that we need Jesus on a daily basis, cleansing our life. Then Jesus forgives us of our sin, but the forgiveness depends on the confession. And then lastly comes a purification. The act of confession brings about forgiveness, and forgiveness brings about purification, that cleansing, that washing. We should never be afraid to confess our sins to Jesus. Because He is faithful and He is just to help us, to forgive us, to purify us. There is no one. I know I'm going a little bit slow, but I want to get this in our deep down inside of us. There is nobody that has forgiven me quite like Jesus. I've done things that have been wrong to other people, and I've apologized. But there's a communication that's broken and damage there that sometimes takes a long time to get back. You know what I'm talking about? Because we're dealing with humanity. But wow, what an awesome feeling it is when I've sinned and I've done wrong and I find an altar of repentance and I immediate forgiveness. And not only do I feel His forgiveness, it's complete.
I don't have to get up and go, well, you still mad at me?
Or I might with somebody else
right.
because of our fallen nature. But with God, I can get up and go, whew, man, that feels a whole lot better now. I can hold my head up. I don't have to be hung down in guilt and shame and depression. But I can hold my head up. God, you forgave me.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you.
If we refuse to confess our sins, the fact that we are sinners, we make God a liar. And the Word has no real place in our lives. If we have no communion or fellowship with God, no matter how much we talk about God, we really don't have fellowship with Him. You can talk a big talk, but really where it needs to be done is having a walk. Remember, God is light, and He exposes things in our life. You can't hide anything from Him. In closing, in just a moment, I'm going to close here. When I used to, when I lived in Florida as a young man, it was always funny. Everybody had the pest control guys out all the time. They thought that they had them in control. Those little things known as cockroaches. And everybody would act like they didn't have any.
They're nasty. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody thought, well, I don't have them. I get my house sprayed once a month, man. I don't even got any. And then you go in the bathroom and you turn on the light. You get up for the midnight snack of Oreos and milk. And you flip on the light and across the camera. No, not in my house. Oh no, my house is clean. My house is perfect. Oh no, I get sprayed and I get all the... But it's amazing. And that's kind of what it's like in our life. Oh yeah, no. I go to church and I do this and I do that. No, no. Turn the light and I go, whoa, whoa. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, there's something that's exposed in our life.
Right.
And it brings out some things that we don't want nobody to know.
What's that song? Is there a place in your heart that you don't want nobody to know?
What's the rest of the song? You know the song?
But nevertheless, it talks about you don't want nobody to go, but God comes into that place. You know, He's not really concerned about all the places that you do have right, because He's drawing you closer and closer and closer. He already knows you got that right. He ain't dealing with that. He's dealing with the other stuff. He's dealing with the other cockroaches.
Right.
He's drawing you and saying, come on, we still got some bugs. We still got some stuff to get out of your life. So he reinforcing the promise. He goes in verse number 9 and 10. He said, if we confess our sin, He is faithful. He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us. And I love this. From all unrighteousness. God, Jesus, is able to cleanse us from some of our cockroaches. No, when He sprays, He can spray it right. He can cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. He is the only light that can cleanse us from all sin. Forgive us from all sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm not interested in making Him a liar. I want His Word inside of me. I want His light to expose things in my life that I need to take care of and I need to get right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't it so good to know that God just, he's not interested in exposing something in your life without giving you a way to fix it.
Anybody think that's as cool as I do?
Oh, yeah.
God is not interested in exposing something. And here, furthermore, this is what's more important. God is not really interested in exposing it in you and letting everybody else see it.
Right. That's what's so cool, Barrett. Is he said, hey, let's me and you have a little talk. Let's me and you communicate. Nobody else needs to know.
That's right.
You see, it wasn't the Old Testament that you had to go to the priest and confess.
Right.
But man, thank God we don't have to do
praise
that.
Praise God. Yeah.
No, I'm more excited about that than any of y'all are.
I would want that job no way, no how. Forget it. I can't. I don't want that job. I don't want to know. I'm so thankful for Calvary that he made a way of escape that I don't have to tell somebody else, but I can go to Jesus Christ, the advocate, the mediator, the perpetuation of my sin, and I can tell him about it, and we can have a conversation, and he can forgive me.
In John 3 and 20, it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Yes, I understand. There's some uncomfortable situations when that light is there. It's like, oh man. But the awesome thing, again, it's just between you and God. Ain't nobody else know. Mm-hmm. It's just you and God. And so it makes it that much easier for you to take care of it. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Would you stand this morning? So in your first test, your first exam, the question is on the test, am I walking in light? How can I know if I'm passing the test, the exam? You can ask yourself, is my life matching up with my talk? Or have I just learned how to talk a good game? One of these boys, you see, I'm fat and I'm old and I'm broken. And I think.
Lucas, who was it that day that we were playing basketball? Which one of the boys was?
Kasu.
Was it Kasu?
Kasu.
He just was laughing. He thought it was so funny. I didn't think it was funny. I say, come on, Pastor, play basketball, play basketball. I get out there and play basketball. And Kasu was, he's laughing at me the whole time. And I'm trying to get the ball, and he's got me running around in circles, and he's just laughing. And finally, I tackled him. I said, boy, this ain't funny. I'm breathing, I'm huffing and puffing, and he's doing all this and laughing.
Oh, boys. He was one, now he's probably got some of you other guys that can school him, and you take the ball from him and say, yeah, you think you're smart. Well, I don't even want to play ball with you. That's why I was playing with those guys that were 6, 7, and 8 years old. That's my
son. But you can talk a good talk. And I can talk about being, oh, yeah, I was this kind of basketball player. And you know what? I've done that before and said, man, I used to be able to play basketball.
Yeah, 25 years ago.
I used to do this, and I, well, if you can't do it now, shut up. You used to be this fast, and you used to, ain't no more. You can talk all the talk that you want, but does your life prove it? Does my, God, does my life prove it? Help me to examine myself. This isn't about me examining you. This is about the Word of God examining you. Am I just a Christian because I say that I am? Or am I able to truly walk in the light and not in darkness? Am I walking in fellowship with God and with other believers? That's the first exam question. The second, am I confessing sin is still alive in me and that I need Jesus? That's a hard one to do. That's a hard one to do sometimes because, again, nobody wants to admit that they're wrong or they have a need. But what I have found out in this day and age, in this world, in this society in which we live, as hard as everybody tries not to need anybody, to do it all by themselves, to make their own way, they're still a place in their life that they know that only Jesus can fill. Only Jesus can say, oh, that's into the song that we sing. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can cleanse your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. While we reach here and while we reach there, there's really only one that can satisfy our soul. So we need to ask ourselves honestly, have I deceived myself in a make-believe world that I'm sinless and that I'm perfect? Remember, the only sinless man that walked the earth hung on a cross, was crucified and risen again for you and me. Are you waking up every day with a dependence on Jesus? Or is He just another God, another teacher, another religious icon, another religious idea? Now here's a really tough question. Does Jesus have access to every aspect of your life? Can Jesus have access to any part of your life? Or is there a place, okay, God, I want to feel your presence. I want to feel, I enjoy it, but just don't deal with it. I have come to learn that so many of us, because we don't want anybody to know that we have a problem, we have a hurt, we have this, or there's something going on that we want everybody to think that everything's okay. But deep down inside of us, we want some relief. There is a place in your life that you can stuff alcohol, drugs, illicit relationships, pornography, gambling, cars, money, careers, homes. You can stuff all kinds of stuff into that hole and it will never quite fill it.
Jesus' design on you as his creation is to have fellowship, is to have a relationship with you in the most fantastic and intimate way. I'm not interested, to tell you the truth, of knowing Jesus at a distance. I want to know him close up and personal. So I ask you one other question today. Have you confessed your sins so that you can receive forgiveness? Have you confessed at those hidden places that you don't want nobody to know about? Have you talked to him about it to get a cleansing, to get a washing? Have you talked to him, Lord, I'm by no means perfect, and I see my need for you. If you haven't done that today, can I ask you, why not? Why not? Why not today confess your sins? Why not today allow the light of his word, the light of his spirit, to shine down on some places that you feel so empty, you feel so lost? Would somebody help me pray today? Would somebody help me pray today? I know this morning, just because of the nature of humanity, there are needs all across this building that nothing in this world will satisfy. But I also know, because of the group of people that are here today, and I know that Jesus is here, and he's saying, but I can fill that hole. I can fill that emptiness. I can fill that void that is resonating inside of your spirit. I invite you today. I invite you today, whether it's at your seat, down at this altar, I invite you today to take a good look at yourself. Will you allow the word? Will you allow the light? Jesus is the light. Will you allow that to shine down on the inside of you? Can you be honest with God? Can we pray today? Can we pray today? Can we pray today? Will you be honest with yourself? Will you be honest with God? You don't have to do anything with me. It's not somebody, that's a choice of your neighbors. It's between you and God. What is that faith? What is that place that Jesus has shined his light continually there in your life? Oh, Jesus, help us right now.